Good morning. It's great to be with you all. And as you can tell, Rachel and Hazel are not here with me, but they send their love and greetings, as well as Gabe and Devin in the congregation. For our Bible study, if you will, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Our text will be verses 12 through 21, but by way of introduction, I'd like to go ahead and read the first 11 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to establish the fact that Peter is clearly writing to believers. We can clearly see that, can't we? He made it very obvious. He's writing to believers. And what I want to look at today is this needful exhortation that he gives believers. Alright? Look at verse 12. He said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Do you notice how many times he's telling us it's so important that we remember some things? He's saying, I understand I am here for a short time, very shortly, very soon, I must put off this my earthly tabernacle. I must drop this robe of flesh and physically die. And he said, when I do, and until the day I do, I'm endeavoring that you may be able to always have these things in remembrance. All right, that's what I want to talk about. Have these things always in remembrance. What things? What things? Well, he told us, if you notice in verse 12, I'll just read it again. He said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now look what he says here. Though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I hope none of us are here today to hear something new. What he's reminding us of, remember he's writing to believers, he's reminding us of things that we already know. We already know. And I love the way he words it here. He said, and be established. We are established. We have been established by God, by God's grace, in the present truth. I love that. Now, we know Christ is the truth, don't we? God having saved us, He has established us in Him, in Christ Himself. And I thought about truth. You know, truth changes not. Things change. I've seen it in my life. I've not lived all that long, but things change. You know, when I was a kid, certain things weren't acceptable that are now acceptable, widely acceptable. In fact, something's wrong with us if we don't accept it. You know what I'm talking about. But when it comes to truth, truth changes not. It doesn't change. And think of Christ. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And by God's grace, we've been established in Him. We've been established in the truth. And I read it there at the beginning of the chapter where Peter's writing to those who've obtained. We didn't work it up. We obtained it, the free gift of God. We obtained like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that faith for a few minutes here. God's given us this faith. Look at verse 16 right here. Peter said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God has been pleased. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to reveal Christ in us. Aren't you so thankful? Honestly. Pleased God to reveal the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He just said. And this precious faith, brethren, we know this, but we need to remember this. It has nothing to do with us. It's not precious because of me. Alright? We know that. We know that. And sometimes, you know, you may say, "Oh, well, so-and-so's strong in the faith. It ain't them." Or so-and-so's weak in the faith. Man, they're weak in the faith. We're looking to the wrong place. Looking to the wrong place. Our faith is in Christ alone. Our faith is in His precious blood that He shed to redeem us. I didn't read it, but somewhere in Peter, I think 1 Peter chapter 1, where he tells us, you know, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. We've been redeemed by that precious blood, brethren. And Peter tells us here, he says, we've not followed fables. You know, cunningly devised, someone craftily came up with these fables, these lies. That's what religion is all about. I mentioned things that used to be not acceptable are now widely acceptable. That's because it hinges on man. What man deems is right. What man deems is okay and acceptable. It's not so with God. Truth changes not. God changes not. That's why we can have hope in God. Because it doesn't change. He doesn't change. We change. But praise God, He does not change. Now, while most people believe a lie, Peter's telling us, remember this, brethren. We've not. By God's grace, we've not. By the power of God, we've not believed a lie. We've been established in the truth in Christ. Now, in thinking about that, I can't help but acknowledge this. And I remember when I was a kid, I grew up under the truth. Don Fortner was my pastor for a lot of years. I grew up hearing the truth. I knew it very well in my head. And I would go to school and I would hear people say things. And I remember one day coming home and I asked my mom, "Mom, how do we know this is the truth? You got all these different forms of religion, forms of Christianity. How do we know this is right?" Because I would hear things like, "This is the truth. Other people are believing lies." Well, how do we know? How can we know this is the truth? And she would tell me, "Well, we believe God's word. Other places don't preach God's word. They twist it. They change it. They add to it. They take from it. Make it say what they want it to say." And I thought, okay. Well, that doesn't seem fair. that all these people would believe a lie and then God has given us the truth. And she would tell me, if I would say something like, "Well, Mom, I just, when I hear things, I want to say something. And I don't know what to say." And she'd say, "Well, son, remember, they're lost. God hasn't revealed the truth to them." And what she was telling me was, don't be hard on people because they're lost. That's the point. And in time, when God gave me faith to believe on Christ, I needed to know then and I need to know now.
I didn't give myself faith.
We need to remember that. I pray God would give us a word in due season to say something to people who are lost, especially our lost loved ones. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But we need to remember, faith is a gift of God. Paul said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. God gives faith as he's pleased to do." And I can gladly acknowledge this. The faith that God gives is true faith, saving faith. How many times do we read of our Lord having an encounter with someone, and what did he say to them? "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go and sin no more. Go in peace." But it's not because it's mine. That's not why faith is saving. That's not why faith is precious. Now, we know, we read it in the Hebrews, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But at the same time, we need to understand, without God, it's impossible to have faith. You know, most people, again, I know, lost because God hasn't revealed the truth to them. But most people have faith in their faith. I don't want to be that. I don't want to have faith in my faith. Well, I'm strong in the faith. I've really got it down. I don't. But the faith that God gives is saving faith. And Peter's writing to people to whom God has given this precious saving faith. And we need to remember, God gave us this faith. This faith is critical. Without faith, we're not going to be saved. But this faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's in Christ alone. It's in Him and through His blood alone. That's the first thing. Now look at verse 16. "For we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." I'm sure most of you remember the account where our Lord took Peter, James, and John up into the Mount of Transfiguration, and He revealed Himself in His glory to them. They're standing there, and they see Moses and Elijah appear with our Lord. Our Lord is shining as bright as the sun, raiment as white as the light. They didn't even know what to think. And one of the accounts, if you don't know, it always surprises me, I guess, but in one way it does, in one way it doesn't. But the disciples fell asleep. They felt that the most glorious thing they've ever physically seen. They beheld His glory. We just read they were eyewitnesses of His majesty physically. Alright? And they fell asleep. Again, shows how strong our faith is, don't it? Shows how strong we are. Not at all. But anyway, they saw Him arrayed in His glory. And Peter is telling us here, we saw Him. And when I think about it, and when I read about it, how glorious that was, every time I can't help but get jealous and think, oh, if only I could have been there. Seriously, I would have loved to have been there. But then I read things like this, we'll go on and read, and then it hits me, I do see this by faith. Faith looks to Christ. Faith really beholds Him in all His glory. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've not seen Him. By faith, we've seen Him. By faith, we see Him. When we come here to worship Him, if God is willing, if He sends His Spirit and opens up the Word to us, we'll see Him. And that's my prayer right now, that we might behold Him in His glory. This true God-given saving faith sees the Lord Jesus Christ to be everything God declares Him to be. To be the spotless Lamb of God. To be the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. Sees Him to be all of our righteousness. No goodness in here. All goodness is in Him. There's one righteousness. It's Him. Christ alone. Verse 17. "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." You remember Peter. You know, Peter often had some great ideas, didn't he? Great things to say. And Peter, bless his heart, I know he meant well. But he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And it was. He was right about that. But here's where he said, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And I love it. It says, while he was yet speaking, bright cloud overshadowed them. And they heard a voice from heaven, we just read from the excellent glory, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What are we to learn from that? God's well pleased in Christ. Now, are Moses and Elijah saved in glory with Christ? No doubt they are. But we're not to glory in them. We're not to glory in one another. We love each other, hopefully, by God's grace. But we glory in Christ alone. He's called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're to glory in Him alone. Our faith, and God gives us faith in this. This precious faith is in Christ alone. It's in Christ and Him alone. If God's going to be satisfied with me or you, there's only one way that can be. That's in Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I don't know what comes next. He's my life, my joy, my all, something like that. It's so. It's so. It's either Christ or something else. It's Christ or nothing. Either He's all our hope or we have no hope. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There's one we need to hear, and it's Him. There's one we must believe, one we must hope in. It's Christ and Christ alone. And I know God's not going to let us forget that, but Peter's urging us, remember that. Remember that. You know, until God gives us this faith, these words might come in one ear out the other. We're warned in Hebrews about not letting these things slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We won't. Christ is all. I pray God will enable us to hear Him, hear His voice, and believe on Him. Verse 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What's he saying? The word of God. And specifically, he was talking about the Old Testament. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? He just told us about when he was an eyewitness of Christ's majesty. When he heard the Father himself speak directly to them. Hear him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. He said, this is more sure than that. We know God does not speak audibly to us. He speaks to us through his word. Through the foolishness of preaching, they heard the voice of God. And he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Is that not amazing to you? Honestly, amazing. It's hard to believe except for the fact that God said it, and that settles it. God's word is sure. I said, everything here changes. We know it to be so. His word doesn't change. Not a word of this book is going to change. We're warned against adding to this book, the words of this book, or taking from the words of this book. And people love to make all their translations what it is. They don't like how it reads, so they change it. Make it sound a little more appealing to the flesh. Dangerous. That's so dangerous. We need to take God at His word. Believe it as it is. You don't understand it, Lord? Help me to understand it. We come back to hear the word preached over and over and over again. If we perfectly understood it, would we keep coming back? If we felt so strong in the faith, well, I've got it all down. We come here to hear more of Him. We need to hear more from His Word. We need to hear more of Christ. By God's grace, that's exactly what will happen. Now, verse 19 again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The words of this book truly are light in a dark place. This is a dark world, isn't it? This is a dark, sinful vessel, isn't it? What light do we have? We have Him. Christ is the light. Our brother John is teaching the kids right now from John chapter 1. In him was light, and the light was the life of man. I may have that backwards, but you get the point. He's the light, he's the life, he's the word. Christ is all. What a glorious thing to teach our kids. What a glorious thing to stand here and declare. God forbid we declare anything but that. Anything but Christ. I love what the psalmist said. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As we go through this life, you need advice. Where do we go? Often I think I have the answer. And I'm far more quick to run to people for advice. Now, mind you, people I truly trust. Like Gabe, for example. Best advice we're ever going to find is in here. Nothing stopping us from looking for it. Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Word. He's the Word of God. He's the light of the world, the light of His people. And He is the day star that shall arise in your hearts. When God says, "Let there be light," and there's light, and God sees the light that is good, we know that's Christ, don't we? What a glorious picture of the creation is. God said, "Let there be light." Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's me. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moves through the preaching of His Word. And God says, doesn't matter what I say, God says, "Let there be light," and there's light. And He sees, doesn't matter what I see, He saw that it was good. I love that. Oh, praise God for His word. Praise God for His willingness and being pleased to by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read that God hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I pray that never gets old to me. And may we always remember. We need to remember this. We were all in darkness until God called us out. All of us. All of us. We were in darkness. We read in John 3 that light has come into the world. Christ Himself came into the world. Did we want the light? Did we want anything to do with Him? We all loved darkness rather than the light. And let me put that plainly. Naturally, until God saved us, we all love ourselves and our sin and our sinful ways, our sinful lust, rather than Christ. Rather than God. You know, the common belief is, well, we can love yourself, love ourselves, and love God. Not according to God's word, we can't. We loathe ourselves and love Him by His grace. And we don't feel like our love for Him is what it ought to be, do we? In fact, we just don't see it. We just don't see it, do we? But it says we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. We read that He loved us, don't we? Gave Himself for us. Everlasting love, He loved us and drew us to Himself. And that we'll never be separated from His love to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, God has His way, doesn't He? Well, then we love Him, don't we? We love Him. Praise His name. Verse 19 again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We would do well to take heed to the words of this book. Knowing this is a more sure word of prophecy. It's the Word of God. It's sure. It changes not. It's to be believed. Alright? Now, I mentioned it a minute ago, but we know this. There are many, and Paul told us about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there are many who corrupt, deal deceitfully with this more sure word of prophecy. There are many who make their own interpretations of this book. You know, you take a part of a verse here, a part of a verse there, maybe a chapter here, a chapter there. Ah, we don't like that. Let's cut it out. Here's our creed. Here's our doctrine. So dangerous, brethren. There's one interpretation of this book. It's not mine. It ain't yours. It's his. He said what he means. He means what he says. I believe we read that he's given unto us, his people, he's given unto us like precious faith. He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He gave it to us. He gave them to us. That means we can count on them. We can count. You know, people are so quick to trust something because a preacher said it. You know what? If a preacher says it, we ought to be extra careful and not trust it until we can back it up with this book. In a message recently, I believe I said, don't believe me, believe God. Like John the Baptist, I'm just a voice. I'm just the voice of one crying in this wilderness of a world. I need to hear him speak. I need to hear what he has said. What's God's interpretation of it? Paul said this, inspired of God. We preach Christ crucified. That's his interpretation of it. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, unto us which are saved, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said, I determined not to know anything among you. Churches are full of so much stuff. Make it all about us. He said, I determined not to know anything among you, save this one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for His sake. The Lord Jesus Christ's sake. It's all about Him. This book, hopefully, by God's grace, I'll remember a lot of things that Brother Fortner said over the years. And I'll tell you, it took many years for me to actually enjoy what he was saying. I didn't like it. I did not like it. I'm not afraid to tell you. In fact, I hated what I heard for most of my life. Then God said, let there be light, and He caused it all to make sense. Everything I heard all these years, it became good news to me. I finally heard Christ is all in all. From Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. We know in John 1, that was Christ. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That's Christ. Revelation 22, 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's all about Him. From the first verse to the last, and every verse in between, even the ones that, man, they're just hard to read sometimes. The Lord has blessed Gabe in this way. Let me just say this. He's gone through some books and dealt with some passages where the whole chapter is just names, genealogies. I read it, I get nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then he can bring a whole message, by God's grace, telling us what each of these names means and how we see Christ in it. My soul. Praise the Lord. The hymn book, that's what I'm going to say for her. He said that this is the hymn book, H-I-M, capital H-I-M. It's all about Him. Let's remember that. God gives us a chance to speak to somebody. May He cause that to cross our mind. It's all about Him. Let me show you. Verse 20 again. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I think it's been obvious, but I'll say it again. This is not a man-made book. Did men write the words of this book? Absolutely they did. Who were they? Holy men of God. Sinners saved by the sovereign grace of God. And they spake with their quills or whatever they had back then. God caused their hand to move and write His holy, inspired word. that he's preserved all these years for us, giving it to us in our language that we can read and understand. It's his book from start to finish. And I thought about this. There are so many books out there. I feel like some people just, for a living, obviously, but some people just for fun, for habits, write books. So many books, and people love to read books. Reading is a great thing. I have a little daughter. She, every day she wakes up, book, book. I would like to read to her. But there's only one book that matters. I pray one day God will give me an opportunity to read her this book. Because there's only one thing that matters, and that's that we know Christ and be found in Him. The words of this book are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can read this book all we want to, but until God reveals Christ to us, it's really just another book. Until we see Christ in it, it's all about Him. We can learn a lot of good things from this book, not knowing Christ. But if God ever reveals Christ to us, we've learned everything there is to learn. Does that make sense? This word declares who God is in His holiness, in His sovereignty, in His majesty, in His glory. I love reading about who He is. Don't you know how glorious He is? This word declares unto us who we are. I don't like reading about that, but I need to. I'm a sinner. I drink iniquity like water. All that is in this flesh is bruises, wounds, putrefying sores. It's disgusting. It's filthy. And here's the thing. In God's sight, that's what I am in my flesh, in God's sight. And this word declares our only hope. Praise God, this word is full of hope. And we've been reading about it. The word, the light, the life, my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This word declares salvation, substitution, satisfaction, redemption, sanctification, justification, you name it. We have it in Christ. Oh, praise God for His word, brethren. May He enable us to have these things, the things of Christ, always in remembrance. Amen.